Hey, BA fam, this episode is sponsored by State Farm. Are you a small business owner looking for insurance that fits your needs and budget? Look no further than State Farm. State Farm agents are not just insurance providers, they're also small business owners who live and work right here in your community. They understand the unique challenges of running and protecting a small business. When it comes to small business insurance, State Farm knows what it takes. Create a plan that fits your needs and your budget. State Farm agents are ready to help you choose personalized policies that truly understand your business. Insure your small business with a fellow small business owner. Talk to a State Farm agent today and get started on personalized small business insurance that fits your needs. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Talk to your local agent today. So, what is happening in the world?
Yikes! I know. I can't.
I'm so sad.
I'm like, wait, what? Honestly, when I was flying back from Atlanta, we went to, because we had to do a layover in Boston and come to Newark. I was like, am I going to be able to go home? Because I wasn't sure how widespread the protests were.
How was it when you landed?
Boston was dead. I mean, Newark is how it always is. But there were protests I heard in Newark, but that was like a day or so before I was coming back home.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but JFK looked crazy. And then Dallas, you know?
I just came from the train station and I would have stopped, but there's this huge protest happening in Jersey City right now on Grove Street.
Wow. Oh, yeah. Do you want to get right into it? Because I feel like this is good convo.
Yeah, no, we're recording. This is going to go on the show. Oh, hey, this is how I want to start.
Brown ambition. Yeah. I'm Tiffany. That's Mandy.
Brown ambition. For some people, that's the theme today.
I know. It's just, Brina and I, because, you know, I went to Atlanta to do my Live Richer brunch. Mm-hmm. And it was like our annual, like, end of the challenge party. And we were just... At first, I was just super focused on, you know, making sure the brunch was cool, whatever. And then the next day, I'm turning on the news and, like, on Facebook, and I'm like, wait, what?
It felt like the world cracked in half.
Yeah.
You know, it felt like – it really did feel like when you find out that – I don't know. I mean, I don't want to belittle it, but it feels like as an American, I didn't realize how much I relied on – our values and our openness. And I took for granted that we have leaders who believe in religious freedom and who believe in not discriminating someone based on creed or origin or race. And despite even the results of the election, I still
wanted
to believe, although I don't know why. I don't know why, you know, it came as such a shock, but he threatened this, you know, during the campaign. Yeah. It was always on the table. And what pisses me off is how many people I know who during the course of the campaign were like,
I know what you're going to say.
You know, oh, he's not really. He won't really. Like, there's just no way. Like,
he's not going to do that. We're just needing something different in this country. He's not really going to do all those things. And now we're seeing that, like, to his credit, I can't even be mad at Donald Trump because – the truth of the matter is he said, I'm going to do these things, and he's doing exactly what he said. So how can I be angry with someone who said, hey, this is what I'm going to do?
And then okay.
Yep. It's the people who didn't
the minority
believe.
Of voters, the minority, exactly. we should reiterate.
Yeah.
Most people did not vote for him in the popular vote. He did not win it. I mean, it's the only thing he told the truth about, right? Like, it's one of the few things he actually said that was like, he was telling the truth. Like, I'm not going to lie.
And what pisses me off is not like, because of course there are those people who, you know, these like white supremacists or extreme, just people like who are like, yes, thank you for doing what you said. I'm not even mad at them because they're standing by what it is that they've wanted all this time. It's those people who we just need a change in this country and who didn't take him at his word. There actually is a woman on Twitter who wrote, her husband was from one of the seven countries that have you know, that they have restricted as far as coming back into the United States. And her husband was working, I guess her husband is originally from that country, but married, has his green card, but was working there. She's a Trump supporter and wrote, oh my gosh, like, babe, I can't believe you can't get back. She was like, I kind of wish I didn't vote for him now. And I'm like, you think?
You know what? I have an even more personal situation going on right now. My mother and I have been in an argument since Saturday. Like a really bad argument. And we're supposed to, I'm supposed to be taking her to Vegas on Wednesday to see Celine Dion. And right now it's like, she called me today and she's like, can we even be in the same room? And honestly, I'm not sure, because it wasn't until this weekend that she finally came out that she had supported Trump. Really until today, like today, finally, it was the first sort of acknowledgement of it, which I guessed all this time. And like you said, it's not, I'm not so much opposed to someone having an opinion and voting for someone different. It's what she said to me. And to be fair to her, I haven't had a chance to talk to her today to get her full take on the ban. But what she said to me is, you're overreacting. What she said to me is, how can you think that I think that everyone who's Muslim is a terrorist? I don't. And I'm like, okay, so you think that, but why would you vote for someone who is going to impose these sorts of just xenophobic policies? And she said one of before, actually, I was trying to talk to her as I was coming through the protests, and it was just wasn't a good time, so I had to hang up, and then I had to come and talk to you immediately after. And how we left it, the last thing she said was, well, don't you think something needs to be done to protect our, to protect ourselves from terrorism? And I'm like, there, a lot is being done. There hasn't been a terrorist attack by a refugee from one of these countries ever.
Ever.
That's what drives me freaking nuts. Yes.
That's the part I'm like, do you even understand that it's basically like saying, you know what? The big guys in the classroom, we're going to suspend them, even though none of them have ever been in a fight, ever.
If you, you want to know who you can freaking suspend? All the white men who have done mass shootings in America in the last decade. I mean, just get rid of all the white men. They're clearly the biggest risk to us. I'm more afraid going into a movie theater that I'm going to get shot up by some random psycho than God forbid, like a terrorist attack. And we live in New York City and New Jersey. Like, come on. Like, I don't fear a terrorist attack here. I fear gun violence from people who have mental illness issues, because we've sure as hell proven we don't know how to handle that and prevent those types of, you know, tragedies. I think we're actually doing a pretty good job of preventing terrorist attacks. There haven't been that many, but there sure as hell have been a lot of unnecessary mass shootings in America.
Yeah, domestic terrorism.
Domestic terrorism. And
it's
so crazy,
because like you said, it's like these seven countries have posed no threat. And this is, I just don't even understand like what the logic is.
Well, I wouldn't say they haven't posed a threat. I mean, obviously there are pockets, and even larger than pockets, of radical Islam in these countries. And that's a fact. It's true. But like, to say that we're going to put a blanket, and you know, and one of her arguments also, and it's really important for me to hear from her what she thinks, because I need to understand. Mm-hmm. And you know, she's saying it's a temporary ban. Okay, it's a temporary ban on Muslim refugees from these countries. It's a temporary ban from these seven countries, and they give priority to Christians. It's an indefinite ban on Syrian refugees. Syrian refugees who, as far as I know, the majority have been children and women and children. It's like, who do you – and the fact that this executive order came down on Holocaust Remembrance Day –
yeah. And honestly, the part that is so scary is the fact that even those with a green card, meaning that you have legal access, you have already been vetted. I don't even like, so what does that mean? You know,
they've walked that back, and they now say it doesn't apply. Although I was listening to Meet the Press on Sunday, and Rance Priebus, who is the chief of staff to Donald Trump, was on Meet the Press saying, really conflicting things. First, he was like, well, you know, going forward, this executive order will not apply to green card holders, although, you know, it's not outside the realm of possibility that Border Patrol agents and customs agents are going to stop and question green card holders if they travel to these countries. And I'm like, so what are you saying? Like,
yeah,
because on paper, they're not included, but on the low, people have discretion and they can discriminate, you know, as much as they want based on the stamps in your passport.
Yeah, that is just, and then like, you know, they're saying like dual citizen ship holders won't, like, so let's just say you have, I mean, not every country grants dual citizenship, but like for me, I have dual citizenship. I have my Nigerian citizenship as well as my U.S. citizenship. And I've heard that Nigeria is on the short list to be added to that list. So what happens? Because typically if I go to Nigeria, I travel with my, so I don't have to get a visa. I travel with my Nigerian passport. You know, that's how I get into Nigeria. So if I were to go this December and Nigeria is added to the list, then what? Like, you know what I mean? It's just so crazy to me. Like, and you know what really scared me? There's this article that I saw. I wish I remember the name of it. I think it was on Medium. It was this professor of government. And he wrote that what we really need to be afraid of is that this was like the testing to see, can we basically break the law and what happens? So now let's see how we proceed forward.
Well, I got to say to the four judges who have come down in different ways in New York, Brooklyn is one, Boston's another, yeah. I think Virginia, and I forget the third, who have come out and issued stays on this executive order, made it so detainees, people being detained at airports, you know, could no longer be detained. Like, thank you to them for standing up.
Yeah.
And I will say a couple of them were female judges appointed by Barack Obama.
Yes. Oh my God.
So it's, and the protesters are giving me life. It's nice. It's good to see for the second weekend he's been in office. We're not
having it.
We're not backing down. Our voices are being heard. And he is like a little baby who has been told he can't have the toy he wants, bitching on Twitter and, you
That's
know.
That's so crazy. Just have you seen, at first, I read somewhere that he said, oh, the delays at airports were caused by a Delta glitch. I'm like, do you have to be some sort of, like, some sort of, like, yes, alternative. I wonder how someone like that, like the alternative fact woman, I won't even name her. I wonder if someone like that, like, how do you sleep at night?
I call her Bellatrix.
You know? Exactly, yes. How do you sleep at night? Those people who fought so hard for him, I wonder, like,
they believe themselves.
Until their loved one gets cancer and can literally not afford to be alive. Until someone has a, you know, aneurysm. And, oh, well, you're out of luck because, you know, there's no healthcare that's going to cover that. You should have had money saved.
Oh, you're talking about, healthcare.
You know what I mean? So what does it take for you to realize that, like, I don't know. But, I mean, it does warm our heart to see that the vast majority of people, at least on the outside, are like, no, this is not okay.
And I don't even care. I mean, again, I'll go back to my mother. It hurts me because I don't think she's a bad person. I am struggling to see where she's coming from. Like, I think so many other people, and I know a lot of young people especially have struggled with their family to like understand and she in her mind thinks that this is just a necessary step, where in my mind I'm thinking, I understand the logic of, hey, terrorism is a threat, maybe we should protect ourselves. Yes.
Yeah.
But the not just the actual ban, but the way he went about it secretively in the, you know, the freaking Secretary of State nominee, I heard, didn't even like hear about it. I mean, our Homeland Security guy was like on the phone with him talking about it. And then they were like, oh, wait, he's doing it. It's done.
Yeah.
You know,
that's the part that's so scary. It's just that, like, I read that just top level Republicans were even like blindsided. This is a person who does not. Like, you saw it during the election. People said over and over again, you know, he'd have a speechwriter and he'd be like, no, I'm going to say what I want to say. They tell him, like, you know, you can't tweet that. He'd say, no, I'm going to tweet what I want to tweet. Even now, I've heard that he still has his personal security detail and, you know, is basically like, you know, not wanting the presidential detail and then not wanting to meet with the CIA. Like, what could you possibly... Who is going to give you information to make decisions? Like,
where I just it. The level of egotism is too strong.
Yeah, like, I know, you don't have to tell me. I know. I read the tweets. I know what's happening.
It's like a bull. It's like a bull in a china shop. He's literally giving the people the very sort of threat he's trying to avoid. He's giving them all the ammunition they need to recruit and brew hate against America. And God, I mean, honestly, one of my really good friends is Pakistani. I mean, I like half of my friends are refugees.
Yeah.
We're here, you know, my best friend, Vietnamese, her parents were refugees from the Vietnam War. You know, my other friend is Chinese. Her parents were who came here as immigrants. I mean, just all the people around me. I mean, I had brunch yesterday with Enrique's family, Dominican immigrants coming to this mm-hmm. country in the 70s to make a life for themselves, start a business. You know, it's tragic. And the message that we're sending people about those people, that we're giving them permission to think, oh, immigrants and refugees, there's something to worry about there. Most of them are dangerous and we should shut them out. It's like history repeating itself. You know, mm-hmm. people don't remember, but we turned away Holocaust refugees back in the 40s, like America did. Uh-huh. And that's when I think about that kind of thing, I think, well, shit. I mean, on the one hand, we shouldn't be surprised. We're capable of this.
Yep.
But like, what can be done to prevent the same sort of atrocities that have happened in the past? I mean, humans.
And you put Americans at risk when you travel. Like,
yes.
So what happened? That's the thing. It's like people leave the country. So what happens if you go, not even if you're, it's not like a one of these seven countries, but what happens if you just go to, you know, like I was just 2 years ago, I was in Istanbul, you know?
Yeah, right.
What happened? You know, if I want to travel, you know, well, you know, it's just.
We've already got enough bad press as a country. People will, I mean, Europe, I read on one of these like lists of countries, threats to democracy or threats to foreigners, like America is now on the bad list, like for the first time ever. I don't know the exact name of the list, but with this leader in power, like I'm truly afraid, and I think we're right to be afraid. And gee damn it, I refuse to be told that I'm overreacting. I think now is the time to have a voice. You know, my mom asked me if I could stop posting on Facebook, and I was like, no. She's like, can't you just get a blog and share your opinions there?
Nope.
I'm like, Facebook.com is basically MandyWoodruff.com. If you don't like it, you know, unfollow me. But I hope to. This is a thing. Like, I feel like this is a real important conversation that we didn't have before the campaign that we avoided. Yeah. And now I'm finding out what she believes, and I've never known before. I never knew what my mother's stance on abortion was. I never knew what her stance was on immigration or anything, really, because we just avoided it. And now I'm like, let me figure out what she really thinks. It's important.
I'm not going to lie. Like I went through because I grew up in Westfield, New Jersey, which is like largely white, Jewish, but surprisingly, well, I don't know if surprisingly, but pretty liberal, honestly, I have to say. So because most of my friends that I grew up with who are white, who, you know, like I stayed friends with them. Most of us are all still friends with each other on Facebook. So I would read their statuses. And I would say the vast majority, like the Women's March, they had a Women's March right in Westfield. I was really proud. And I was like, wow. So I would say that it's not a pro-Trump town, but there are definitely, which of course I shouldn't be surprised, the white guys that I knew growing up, like so a few of them I unfollowed, and I kind of wish I hadn't, because the few that I have that I'm still Facebook friends with, I will periodically go to their page and just to get an insight to like because you can turn your head away and say, I don't want to hear it. But honestly, I want to know why, because I cannot bring myself to understand how you think that people are fundamentally bad because of the way they look or because of who they worship or what, you know, I just can't wrap my mind around it. So I'm just trying to understand where do you, you know, what.
We've got to talk to them though, because you know why? They're not looking for the information. Like I read the New York Times all day today. I'm not reading Fox News, and maybe that's a negative thing. But if someone's out there reading their own sort of news and I'm reading my own sort of news, the only way they're going to get like hear what another person's view is if we talk to them, because they're not going to go out there and willfully, you know, look for that other information.
Did you see that? I was like, one of my friends lives in Great Britain, and I guess Parliament convened today, and they were talking about like basically banning. I'm not calling him president, because I don't like banning Donald from coming to Great Britain. Isn't that crazy? Never in history a U.S. president to be discussed not being allowed to enter a country.
I wouldn't want him there either. Go ahead then. It's coming from them, coming that? From the country that voted for Brexit. Like they got their own issues. And they are like,
right? They were like, that's what
Mexico
I'm saying.
Mexico is like, come on. Like, and it's just, it's this is next level. Like the rest of the world, I mean, this is mind fucking, like, everybody, yeah. You know, like, not just America. This, I mean, what America does, I mean, our influence across the world, not to sound like a cocky American, but it's exponential. Like, everything we do, people watch, people listen. We set the tone in a lot of ways. And if you aren't welcome here, then where the hell are you welcome? Canada, obviously, you know, they came out and said that they'll take them.
Yes. And, you know, it was so, it's kind of disheartening because, like, reading some of the posts from my non-American friends, you know, like, the sentiment is, like, you got what you deserve. Like, this is the American sentiment. Mm. Like, this is, you know what I mean? They're... I don't know how much they see the dissension. I mean, I'm sure they've seen like the protests, but honestly, many of them are like, this is how Americans think. And so now you get the president that you deserve. And I'm like, I don't want to be lumped in with people who, you know, who are not inclusive. I don't want to be lumped in with people who, you know, just, I don't know. It's just, I just...
You mean that they'll look at Americans and put a stamp on us as unfriendly to refugees? I don't blame them. The same way we're putting a stamp on refugees as, you know, possible terrorists. It's and to everyone who listens to our show, I know we have Muslim followers. Like, you know, this is always going to be a safe space, and I want to hear from you. Email us if this is affecting you in some way. I started crying on the damn train on the way home because I listened to the Brian Lehrer show on NPR, and there's a woman who's Iranian, and her sister for 2 years has been working to get a visa to come study at an American university for 2 years. So talk about not having a solid vetting process. She hasn't been able to get here for 2 years, was finally ready to get here, and then this ban is completely – she quit her job, and now this ban is saying she can't come here. We don't want you. And you think know, about when people what she say, has to offer us.
Like, oh, it's only 90 days. So so you live here in New Jersey with your family. You go to Iran or Syria or whatever because, you know, you have somebody died or whatever. You have to go to a funeral. You have your green card. So that means you've already gone through the vetting process. But this ban happens. Now you cannot get to work or back to the country where you live with your family for 90 days. That's not some small thing. I just hate that people are like, it's only 90 days. It's not. Yeah. So you be away from your house, your car, your mortgage, the way you make money, your family, your kids, your newborn, your 12-year-old, or whatever. You be away from them for 90 days. You try telling your boss, oh, I won't be there for 3 whole months. Can you hold my job for me, please?
And let's not forget about Syria, indefinite ban on them traveling. And they're in a civil war. Like their government is killing them. They just hang out until we figure this out. Just hang out, you know. Ugh. I mean, 90 days is – 1 day is too much. Some people are going to go back and get killed.
Yeah. Or where do you go if you have no money coming in? Where am I supposed to stay at a hotel for 3 months? Like, what's the plan? And just to spring this on people, it wasn't like, hey, get back, you know, because this is going to happen. It's just so – I'm like, I don't know.
So what do we just – What do we do? Here's what
I did.
I talked to some friends yesterday, but I did set up a recurring donation to the ACLU.
Yes, that's something definitely to do.
Which they're doing like tremendous work representing the people who have been detained. They're saying unconstitutionally.
Yes.
I think it's important if you live in a state, a red state, Georgia, Texas, anywhere, contact your local representatives because they're representing you in Congress. And they have a lot more power than they've shown that they're willing to wield.
Mm-hmm.
Just, you know, do whatever you can and tell someone who's an immigrant that you love them and you like they're welcome here. I mean, that's the overwhelming message that I feel like we should be telling everybody. I mean, Jersey City, I'm so proud to live here, and I've always been proud to live in Queens, Manhattan, Inwood, where there's such a unique community filled with immigrants, filled with refugees and immigrants. And, you know, I think it's important for us to just be nice to one another and to show Trump that he's fucking wrong.
Yeah. And like when it comes time to vote, make it very, very clear that like, we're not going to have it. That the fact is that he might be the president, but the vast majority of people have spoken. He did not win the popular vote. And if that your local and state representative are going to represent his ideas, then they will not be reelected. Make that clear to them.
Amen, because ultimately,
you know, that's what they want to be reelected. And they're hearing our voices, believe me, but we have to vote with your funds. So I mean, on a lighter note, did you see Uber? I'm just like, oh, all of the jokes with Uber.
I tried to look into it because I read all the ban Ubers and all their celebrities banning Uber. I tried to look into it, and what they did they were saying, hey, if you want to get to the protests, you know, Ubers are available. I might be on the side of maybe people are overreacting, but
no, the Uber ban was because the Uber president, I forget his name, the Uber president is like supposedly on some sort of economic team committee or whatever with the president. And then also too, the Uber ban came because I guess when the taxi drivers stood in solidarity and would not bring anyone to JFK Airport in New York, and Uber was like, oh, we will though. And so people were just like, now's not the time. We need you to just.
Oh, they took it as opportunistic.
Yes, that's what they felt. Even though they weren't like, you know, they didn't charge the surges. But what was really funny about the Uber.
Yeah, they didn't do surge pricing. That's what I thought it was. Oh, they're doing surge pricing around the protest.
No, it was just like, and so the Uber, what's making it kind of like giggleicious is that like the Uber president was like, I'm not going down by myself. He was like, he wrote some like, it's on his website. He said, that yes, in December 2016, I agreed to be on like this committee to help to advise the president because I feel like, although I don't agree with all his policies, I feel like, you know, we have to basically have a seat at the table, me alongside of name company. Yo, everybody was like, so now there are all these memes like, yo, Uber's snitching? Like, I'm not going down by myself. They're like Tesla and such from Tesla. Like he named executive names and their company. I'm like, yeah, I have to do all that, brother. Wow. So that's what like the lightheartedness of like the whole Uber bit. I'm like, wow. He was like, if I'm going down. And then of course Lyft. What? Lyft made a swift move. It's like, just so we're clear, we're not here for it. If you want to upload Lyft, you can. We don't have anything to do with this current president's policies. And, you know, we're actually going to donate $1 million to ACLU. What? Lyft is going hard.
Well, they did announce they're donating $3 million. Okay. Uber pledges to donate $3 million. Oh, but Uber is pledging to donate $3 million to drivers affected by the immigration ban. They're trying. I mean, I don't know. I don't know if deleting Uber is what we should do to, you know, if that's like a powerful move in all this.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess, you know, it seemed like a powerful move until you kind of saw the list. I was like, ooh, snitchy. But it made you realize that, like, okay, we have to figure out where to really concentrate our energy. Yeah. And I don't know that, like, you know, like it seemed like a good idea at the time that we're being, and I'm not saying it's not a good idea. But I'm saying that, like, okay, now that you see a list, Tesla's on there, you're never going to get that car. I think Disney was on there. You're never going to watch a Disney movie. I think Starbucks was on there. You're never going to eat drink stuff, you know?
People were calling on Starbucks to ban Starbucks. You know what? I still feel like, and I keep going back to this when we talk about these issues, you know, terrorism is an issue. And like I said earlier, I'm more afraid of mass shootings by mentally ill people. I mean, we let 26 children die and did nothing afterward. So mm-hmm. for me, that's still the thing. Sandy Hook is forever. Like that is probably the most impactful tragedy that, you know, that happened on a national scale to me, and I'll never forget it. And I feel like until we do something to fix that, you know, everything else can just sort of everything else is small and pointless. And that's what I do. I support organizations that fight for gun control. And I support, now I'm a new supporter of the ACLU, Planned Parenthood, I've always supported, and media. I just want to, you know, I'm biased. I'm a journalist, but like, we need journalism more than ever. Courageous journalists who are not bowing down to calls from our own White House to shut up and to sit down and to be quiet. No, this is a moment in history where we never needed journalism more. We need people out there checking these facts and pointing out the lies and digging and asking those questions.
Did you see that when the press secretary, I guess he was being questioned.
Spicer. Yeah, the Bodega Boys, like, call him Adobo. It's my favorite.
when they asked him, they were like, well, you know, he said, you know, the president sat down with Martin Luther King Jr., so he's a civil rights leader. They were like, actually, sir, according to the way history works, you freaking idiot. He's not a civil rights leader. His father was a civil rights leader. He's Martin Luther King III or whatever.
Yeah, MLK Jr. is deceased, yes. Assassinated.
And probably rolling over his daggone grave right now because of what's happening. I'm like, do you not, like, that to me is just so crazy. And he's a civil rights leader. Are you, what, sir? No, no, that's not what's happening. He was a civil rights leader. He's no longer here, but I ask you not to, to decimate his name by wrapping your lips around it. I couldn't. She was like, yeah, I think you mean his father. He said, oh yeah, well, the son has done some things. Yeah.
And he tweeted out his Twitter password. The level of incompetence for the staff surrounding an already buffoon, like it's like the blind leading the blind. And girl, I'm scared, but I want to end buzzworthy on, yes, a semi. I tried to, but I feel like we should extend another big hug to our listeners, yes, who are of whatever faith you are. We love you.
Yes,
you're welcome. I mean, obviously you're probably here already, but and go out there and fight the good fight. And if you want, I'll put a list of some organizations that, you know, I support, if you have some to add to that you support, and just, you know, get out there, make a sign. Talk to someone. Call, yes, your mother. Have the hard conversation.
You don't have to battle it every day. Like, it's okay to turn it off. It's okay to watch a funny movie and laugh and like go out to eat. Like, you don't have to. I don't want people to like stay steeped in the negativity all day long. It's not good for you.
But still be informed.
Yes, balance, for sure.
Balance.
All right, BA fam, y'all know when it comes to financial advice, you have to trust your source. That's why you listen to Brown Ambition, right? And when I'm looking to upgrade my wallet, I turn to NerdWallet. Their expert team of nerds dives into the details to help you find smarter financial products. I've been a longtime fan of NerdWallet. In fact, I almost worked there a couple of times because when it comes to financial experts and writing, they really know how to give you the best reviews of financial products. I honestly wouldn't sign up for a credit card today if I hadn't looked at a review on a site like NerdWallet myself. And honestly, if y'all haven't learned about NerdWallet, you're missing out. And with their help, what could future you do with more travel rewards? A hotel upgrade? Lounge access? Wherever you go next, make it happen with a smarter travel credit card. Don't wait to make smart financial decisions. Compare and find smarter credit cards, savings accounts, and more today at nerdwallet.com. NerdWallet, finance smarter. As with all cards, credit is subject to lender approval and terms of each credit card issuer apply.
America.
I know. America.
How do we go on? So I'm broken right now, I have to say. Like, physically. I'm gonna take a brown break from my body right now.
Okay.
Because I hurt my back really bad on Friday, and I am posted up against a slab of ice right now trying to ice my back. It's so bad.
Like, from CrossFit?
No, I don't do CrossFit. What's funny is I did CrossFit this summer and everyone was like, oh no, you're going to hurt yourself. Oh no, I've heard the worst things. Completely fine. I went to a vintage step class, aerobics class on Thursday.
How nice of you.
I know. Well, I was just so sick of the treadmill. And so I didn't want to spend like $30 on a workout class like they'd be trying to charge in New York City. And so I found a local gym in my area. They do like group exercise classes, and I was looking for Zumba, but they only had step, and I was like, okay, I did that in college, like that's fine. It was stepped and sculpt, and it was very light on the stepping and very heavy on the sculpting, and I think that just the tempo of the music and the way the instructor was moving, I tweaked something trying to go too fast, mm-hmm, and keep up, and it's just getting worse every day, and I am like, it's hard, it hurts to sit, it hurts to lay down. I don't know what to do. I've been icing. I think I might need to go see a
chiropractor.
A doctor. Yeah, I'm just afraid. Like, I don't know. I Googled it and either I pulled a muscle or I have bone cancer.
You are such a millennial.
And I really don't want bone cancer. I really don't want it. But I could, though.
You don't have bone cancer.
I saw that movie with Joseph Gordon-Levitt and Sean, and shoot, who's the other guy? We're 50-50, where he has, it's like about a young guy who has back pain and then he has back sarcoma or something like that. I don't want that.
You just pulled something and you probably need some icing and some stretching and, you know, so.
Yeah, I've been doing that. I'm on the giant ice pack right now, but it's messing up my whole workout schedule. And you know, when you really get in a good groove when you're working out, and I've been going like almost every morning and like working out, and I feel so much better. And it sucks because I'm like, oh man, now I'm going to get out of shape. I probably have to rest for the next week. Well, I'll get out of my schedule. I have to start over. I finally got up to where I can run a 5K. And I have a wedding to get in shape for, universe.
Well, you know, really, abs start in the kitchen. So just.
I know. Well, I want to eat healthy, but my HelloFresh order is downstairs. I couldn't lift it, so I'm not going to.
Really?
It's too heavy. I have to wait for fiance Boo to come home and bring up the box. Yeah, it's bad. It's bad. So if you see me gimping around the city, give me a pat, not too hard.
Well, I'm going to take a brown boost to teamwork makes the dream work. Just team. I mean, this weekend was hard. I mean, flying out to Atlanta.
So tell people about this, because up until like last week, you weren't sure you were going to have this party, right?
So. Yeah. So it's typically simple. So every January, we had the Live Richer Challenge. You know, y'all know that Magnify Money was our sponsor this year. They were great. And so after the challenge is over, we celebrate. I usually have just a simple like party. And so I usually have it in Jersey. Super easy. I call my friend Tammy. Tammy has a great like lounge kind of restaurant in Newark, right across from the huge Prudential Stadium called Taste Venue. It's super cute inside and it's free. Well, she lets me use it for free, but y'all come, we eat, you know, you buy your own drinks and food, but we have a good time. So literally people just come, we dance and that's it. And I might do like a little mini speech and then they go home. So I was like, oh, you know what, this year, let me get fancy and have it in a different state because I always have it in Jersey and let me not be lazy. So I said, oh, I'll have it. Let me look at my numbers. Let's see where we have the largest number of dream catchers, our tribe. Mm-hmm. And so the number said Georgia. And I said, okay, Georgia, we'll come to you. You know, so like a month in advance.
I found out one of my college friends is one of your Live Richer dream catchers. I thought that was really cool.
Really?
So if she's listening, hey, Mercedes, I see you.
Hola, Mercedes. And so, yeah, so I was like, okay, Georgia, you know, Atlanta. Because, you know, when you think of Georgia, you think of Atlanta for the most part.
Right.
And so, you know, I'm thinking everything's great. We initially had a hotel that was we were going to do it, but then it was too pricey. We called around a lot of places in Atlanta and it was just like kind of expensive because I wanted to do two parties. I wanted to just meet up at a lounge and then I wanted to do like a private small brunch with just a small group of dream catchers. So we scrapped the lounge idea because oddly enough, no lounges like wanted us. They wanted us to come, of course, but they wanted me to pay. I'm like, yeah, but like if we just show up and people just eat your food and buy your drinks, isn't that good? No, we want you to put down like $3,000. So whatever. So we were finding, I mean, every time I thought I found a place, it fell through. And we had a restaurant that fell through literally days before the event was going to be had. And I didn't know what we were going to do. So finally, the dream catchers in Atlanta, Georgia, they like basically put out the bat signal and everybody all hands on deck. So we ended up finding this awesome place. The woman who was like this, the coordinator was a dream catcher herself. And she like, you know, gave us the place and at like market rate, you know, like really low, like the rate was really low. And so it ended up being so beautiful. I can't say the place because I have sponsorships with the opposite places, if you know what I mean. So I'm like, I would love to like shout them out, but I'm like, y'all not gonna mess up my money. So it was so beautiful where we had it. It was just so nice. The food was great. About 150 dream catchers came out. I posted the pictures on social media.
The cake looked amazing. Who made
that
cake?
They did. Like the dream catchers out there, they say surprised what? Me. Yes, they bought the cake. Well, they didn't make it. They bought the cake.
Oh, okay.
Like we spent the whole night before up until like 1 o'clock in the morning. Dream catchers came to my hotel room and helped me pack the boxes because I gave gift boxes to all dream catchers with my book and some of my favorite things in these cute little gift boxes. They picked them up from the hotel and like just set up the location so I could like get my makeup done, all that kind of stuff. I came into like the location totally set up by dream catchers.
That is amazing.
It was just, It was honestly. I was stressed up out until like I came to the room and everything was beautiful and people were waiting. Like they got there early. I mean, people had driven hours. People came from other states, South Carolina to Atlanta to come to this event. And so it was just, it was awesome. They got to mingle with each other and we had a really good time. I have to say it exceeded my expectations because I was like, honestly, the day before I was like, I'm never doing this again. This is too much stress. I'm never doing it again. And then after the event was over, I said, oh, I'm going to do this again. I loved it.
I have one question, though. Do they do weddings? Can you all meet me in Savannah and just make my wedding happen?
I know. Honestly, Mandy, first of all, they made me this beautiful plaque. Like, I've gotten awards before. And, you know, sometimes people, like, they skimp on, like, the materials for awards. No, this plaque is, like, 5 pounds heavy, and it's so beautiful. It says, like, an appreciation for you, Tiffany the Budgetista, for all that you've done. And it just was excellent. I mean, and just to see my team, I mean, like everybody knows that Drina's my publicist and I'm like, yeah. So I've known Drina my whole life, like since I was like 9 or whatever. But to see her in action, and because typically, you know, a publicist, a lot of the stuff that she does, I don't see because she'll just pitch me behind the scenes and I won't know until she says, hey, what are you doing next Tuesday? The Real wants you to come, you know? And I'm like, okay, so I don't really get to see her in action, but to see her in action at an event, like managing the lines, managing registration, managing, like just managing all of the components, I was like, whoa, she's good. I really was really looking at her like, what? It went so smoothly. I hate to go to an event where you're like, clearly they're disorganized. Not this at all, even though on the inside we were crazy. It was went so smoothly. Everything was like in order. Boom, 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 boom. Even the picture taking line, like, you know, in the end, everybody wants to take a selfie. And I'm like, sure. She said, nope. She told everybody, we're not going to take cell phone pictures. Instead, we have a professional photographer. He's going to take everyone's picture. If you want to take one with Tiffany, and then we're going to share the link with you tomorrow so you can just download your picture. How genius. And I was like, that way it took, instead of taking, you know, an hour and a half to take pictures with everyone, it was like 30 minutes, you know? And so, yeah, it was just really great. Like, even, like, the book sale, we sold out of books. And by the time I got there, like, the people who bought them, she had written their name inside the book. And so all I had to do was write, oh, to Mandy, thank you so much. Live rich or Tiffany. And, their name was already in the book. And I just thought, wow, she's good. So just a brown boost to teamwork. Thank you so much to the Georgia Dreamcatcher chapter admins. You guys were amazing, especially Tamika. Like, I owe you, like, when I saw Tamika, I said, Tamika, are you pregnant? This woman has 6 kids and was pregnant and, like, planned this whole thing with her team.
I was going to say, don't ask someone that.
No, because she was just like, I'm tired. I need to lay down. And I'm like,
oh, my God.
Yes. And so they were just, I'm like, I can't even get myself together. And it's just me, basically, let alone 6 kids, a husband, and a baby in the belly. So, yeah, just brown boost to that, because it was just a testament to women can do anything, And I can't wait to take it.
And that's all because of, you know, you reap what you sow, and you've sown all these seeds of, you know, community and supporting women, lifting women up. And you deserve all that. I feel like you deserve that sort of treatment from your crew. I keep calling them your tribe, your dream catchers.
Yeah, it just, like I said, it was weird because I'm used to going to an event and being like, oh, this is like Magnify Money's event. So I'll come sit on the panel. Then I go back and sit down and eat my food, you know? So it was so weird to be like, no, Tiffany, they're here because you're here.
For you.
It just was so weird. Man, I can't even explain. I'm like, wait, are you guys here for me? Wait, what's happening?
Tiffany, I thought you wanted to be Oprah. Come on, you have to get used to this.
I don't know. It's such a surreal moment. You're like, wow, these people actually came for me and drove and put on cute outfits and like wanted to take pictures. And really, yeah, it just was awesome. And so, yeah, Dreamcatchers, love y'all. Brown boost to women and teamwork and community. And just, you guys are brown ambition personified.
Yay. That warms my little heart.
My cold, dead,
shriveled heart, whose mother doesn't love me anymore.
No, she'll be back. And you know what? I really want you to come back and share, because when you love someone, now you can speak to her from a place of like, okay, this is someone who I love and I care about. Let me really understand where she's coming from. Because honestly, I don't know anyone that I can ask, well, why would you vote for him? What? Because there's something happening. And honestly, I want to know what it is. We can't deny that people feel this way. And I want to know, honestly, what it is. So I'm hoping that she's going to be able to give you some insight that's going to help us understand better.
Me too. Also, I just want to enjoy Celine Dion. I spent a lot of money on these tickets. Can we not ruin this trip before we even get there?
Well, you should. You guys should have a no, like a ban on talking about anything political. Like just to go have fun, but no. You know, we're not doing that. Like we could do that when we get back.
Yeah, let's just go and have our '90s girls' dreams come true. Anyway, end of brown break. If you guys want to tell us your brown break, vent, brown boost, whatever you have out there, email us at brownambitionpodcast@gmail.com or go to the website brownambitionpodcast.com and leave us a comment, ask us a question, whatever you would like.
And don't forget to leave us somebody actually did, I tagged you in it on Facebook. Did you see? She found the directions about how to leave a review.
Oh yeah, I saw that. We got a tweet too, a tweet from someone on how to leave a review.
Okay. Yeah. Please leave us reviews on iTunes, because the more that we have reviews, the more folks can find us and just enjoy us like you enjoy us. And, you know, tell a friend to tell a friend to tell a friend. It is questions time. One of my favorite parts of our podcast, because we get to hear from you, the listener. And if you have any questions, you know, you can always go to brownambitionpodcast.com and click. Is there contact? Is that what it's
Ask us now? Anything. It says ask us anything.
And so ask us your questions about career, about money, about life. And Mandy and I will try our best to not mess up your life.
So today's question, we have a lot of good ones. You guys keep them coming. Today's question is from Angelique. And she says, recently a post went up on the Dreamcatchers Facebook group stating that once your original creditor sells your debt to a collections agency, this allows the company to write off your debt, which essentially writes off your obligation to pay. It says you can dispute stuff. Okay, wait for it. It says you can dispute stuff on your report, citing that the contract was canceled. To be honest, this sounds a bit too good to be true, and I'm sure there's something we're not hearing. Would you be able to clear up any confusion around this? Excellent question. Big misconception, very common.
Yes. So I saw this post in Dreamcatchers. It's getting a lot of heat. And so we had to go in, because I like for people to post, and then because people gave the correct answer in the comments, most people. So let's just say I borrow money from Mandy, right? And I owe Mandy. I never pay Mandy. Mandy then sells it to her brother. Now, Mandy selling it to her brother does not erase the fact that I still owe money. I might not owe Mandy, but I still owe. And so that... It's not true. So now this is what can happen. This happened to my friend. So she had a mortgage with the bank. Let's just say, you know, bad bank. She had a mortgage with bad bank, and bad bank sold her mortgage to OK Bank. And so in that transaction, so as long as they have made the transaction from selling that her debt, her mortgage to the other bank, as long as that transaction is legal, like they fill out the paperwork, then no, you owe OK Bank. That's how it goes now. But she was fortunate enough in that she was a lawyer. They went to court. OK Bank took her to court to say, hey, give us our money or give us your house. And she said, well, prove to me that you owe my debt now. OK Mortgage did not have the paperwork on them. The judge said, come back in a week. Came back, still didn't have the paperwork. OK Bank could not find the transfer paperwork, because a lot of times debt is sold in bulk, meaning like they're not selling one mortgage at a time from bank to debt collector. They're typically selling hundreds, maybe thousands in bulk. Mm-hmm. And so they could not find that transfer paperwork. So being a lawyer, most people would never think to ask that. And she told the judge, it is not unreasonable for me to ask for proof that you owe, that you own my debt. Because how do I know I'm paying the right people?
It's a very important point, because people don't know that you can ask for a debt verification letter.
Yes.
When you get
that part is critical.
Yeah, that's super important, because a lot of companies don't keep track, and that lack of
organization
is not your problem.
That's the loophole that people might be referring to. So let's just say, so she ended up having the house. Basically, she's in limbo because Okay bank cannot find the paperwork. Bad bank has sold her debt. But to whom? There's no paperwork to say. So guess what? She has a house clear and free. She's just been in it for years, like not paying anyone. Isn't that crazy? And so, that's not a typical loophole. Typically, like, they have the paperwork to show. So, because that's like saying, yeah, it's just, you still owe. So if you should ask, you should always ask for a verification letter when the person that you originally owed is not the person contacting you. That is your right. You want to make sure, because there are people out there who will pretend that they've been sold your debt and take your money. So it's within your right, and you ought to say, hey, I want a verification letter. Just verify for me that you now owe this debt before proceeding forward. So that's nothing crazy about that. But no, just the fact that them selling it doesn't mean the contract is over. No, it means the contract has been transferred to somebody else.
And we always give this warning too. Sometimes I think people think this doesn't mean like you're always going to owe that debt. The question of whether or not the debt collections agency, whoever owns the debt, can sue you for that unpaid debt. Now, that is a question that sometimes can work in your favor if the debt has passed the statute of limitations in your state. And we said it a million times, but I'll say it again. So when you get that debt verification letter, it should have the age of the debt or when the debt was incurred. And based on that, you can determine whether or not there's legal implication for you not continuing to pay that debt and make a decision. And be wary of debt collections firms that try to get you to make even just a small payment or $5, $10, $20. Today, and they'll get off your back, because by doing that, if your debt has passed your state's statute of limitations, you could be restarting the clock completely and giving them all they need to take you to court and sue you.
And garnish your wages. You know, some people can even snatch refund checks depending on who you owe.
Security up to us, I think 15% of Social Security can be garnished. You don't want to mess around with debt collectors.
And so, you know what I might do for the Dreamcatcher group, because that post has been like floating around for the last few days. I might have one of my credit expert friends, Nativa Hurd. She's a frugal credit needs. So she was the education sponsor for the Live Richard Challenge Credit Edition. She made sure that, because Nativa does credit all day, every day. She's a frugal credit Nista. But what I like about Nativa is that she is how I approach helping women with basic financial education is how she approaches helping folks with basic credit education, meaning she approaches it with kindness. She approaches it with people over profit, like that kind of thing. So I might have her come and clear it up, because she's a really good educator and teacher as well, because I don't want people thinking like, oh, my debt was so, I don't owe. Because honestly, ask yourself this. If it was that easy, wouldn't we all be debt free? Like, honestly,
people are always looking for a loophole. People want to dispute. They want to dispute positive true negative information on their report. You did it. You know, so you did it. And it's illegal to say you didn't do it.
Yeah. So, I mean, and I'm not saying that because, I mean, I've seen people dispute true things. They've fallen off. Yeah, that can happen. But honestly, is that really how you want to live your life? You know, I really do believe in karmic energy. So, you know, you want to do right so you can get right. You know, pay who you owe and you know, do right by your money and it'll do right by you. But yeah, good question.
Woo, I just checked our iTunes reviews. We have 50 new reviews in the last week.
Y'all is kind.
Thank you so much. I would like more, please.
Mandy's greedy. She said, I want some more. Like Kirsten Dunst in Interview with the Vampire.
Yes, exactly that. I'm a child vampire. Please give me more Brad Pitt, Tom Cruise vampire-ness. Please leave us more reviews. I can't wait to check our ratings. And you guys just help us so much to be sure that people can see the podcast and know that we're out there. You help us not fall into the iTunes black hole that iTunes can be and help people find us. So it's just super important that you leave reviews. And for those of you who have, thank you so much. For those of you who haven't, I'm not going to come knocking on your door, but I will think bad thoughts about you until.
No, I won't. We're just asking that you leave us some great reviews, because you guys have already done an amazing job. Just thank you so much, honestly. And share us. You know, there are not too many brown podcasters out there. And it, it that's not, it should not be so. You know, Mandy's self-taught. Like, I just come here and I'm like, hey guys. But, you know, Mandy taught herself how to edit, how to, like, all of the nuances behind the scenes. And, you know, Mandy's smart, I guess, but not smarter than you. You can do it too.
Thanks. And if you want to know how to leave a review, just Google it. Google has all the answers.
Yes, it does.
I mean, it can't tell me if I have bone cancer or not, but it probably can tell you how to leave a review.
Yes, it can. It's on there, I promise.
Are we ready for some wins?
Let's see. Leave on a high note. I would just say my win is just Atlanta. Thank you so much, Georgia, for looking after me and making sure that I was good. And just, you know, for my team for stepping up, and not just my team in Atlanta, but my team at home. Like, while I was there doing that, they were handling business. And 2016 taught me this major lesson that let people do what they're good at. Like, I finally stopped trying to micromanage everything. And I just trust that my team is doing what they're good at, what I hired them for. And they are. So, yeah, that's my win.
I want to give part of my win to Atlanta, too, because the Falcons are in the bleep bleep Super Bowl, which is amazing. 10-year-old Mandy, who wore her Dirty Bird t-shirt to fifth grade lunch every day and did the Dirty Bird with her friends, like all two of them, in the cafeteria, is so excited. And my baby brother just bought a ticket to go. He's going to the Super Bowl, and he and my dad were at the game together, and that was just a phenomenal moment for them. So I'm almost excited more for them than for like Atlanta or me, just because my brother and my dad love the Falcons so much.
Awesome.
The other part of my win, I just want to give a win to my everyone, all of my friends, my family, my soon to be Dominican family, everyone who was an immigrant, has immigrant family, refugees, came to America, made the most of it. Just, I want to make you guys my win and let you know that I won't stand for any of this nonsense, and that, you know, the most we can do, I think, is just be nice to each other and to be welcome and to prove to the world that we aren't who our elected officials may think that we are. So that's it. A win for inclusion.
A win for inclusion. We love y'all.
Hugs.
Mike Carruthers shares little pieces of intel and interviews you can use to improve your life on the Something You Should Know podcast.
The next time you're looking for a job and have to write a cover letter, here's some advice from Skip Freeman, author of a book called Headhunter's Hiring Secrets. Add a P.S. to the bottom of that cover letter. That can actually increase the chances of that letter being read by up to 75%. Some people actually glance down and read the P.S. first.
Something You Should Know. Search on YouTube or wherever you listen.